that I have chosen now has led me to a wall. And with each passing day, I feel a little more like something dear was lost. It rises now before me, the dark and silent barrier between all I am and all that pass beyond is what I seek. I fear that I may be too weak, and those of you who've seen it too, to glimpse the other side. The promised land is waiting, like a maiden that is soon to be a bride. The moment is a masterpiece, the weight of indecision's in the
to the Mystical Mother Earth Show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and with me is, of course, the enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hello there. That was a self-esteem song, I think.
Yeah.
Didn't it seem like it?
Yeah. So I kind of want to let's fill the audience in, you know, to our latest, little creative shifting going on with the show, which is...
Okay.
You know, essentially, we really love our opening songs that we've been using. I mean, that chanting, was it Norwegian or who was that?
It was Nordic, I think. Yeah.
Nordic. You know, that was wonderful. But I don't know, the shifting and the fluidity that's going on the planet right now is so incredibly obvious. And so me and Jeannie were thinking that, you know, based on the topics that, you know, we're kind of leaning towards based on what it is we're living throughout the week, that we're going to start just sharing songs. Like, we're going to play two songs every episode, one in the beginning, one at the end of the show. You know, just to, it's another creative outlet. That song is actually called The Wall. It's off of the, and I'll give, you know, if I know where, you know, the album is or the group name, you know, I'll always share it. So that was Kansas, Left Overture. It's a song called The Wall. And personally, I really feel that song. I love that song. I have listened to that song for, we've had the Kansas album. Gosh, me and my brother bought the album in vinyl.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and it really does just speak to me. And, you know, tear down the wall and let it all be, you know, on the other side of it. Because you'll actually hear probably a few Kansas songs. Because, I don't know, I guess I kind of do like Nordic in general anyways. I like that music. I like those Norden women singers, you know, that...
Oh, wait, this band is from there?
Oh, no, but me, they feel very, they have that, it's, what's the word, medieval.
European? Oh, medieval, yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and if you look at their album covers, that's their art that they use. You know, it's a journey. The whole album, Left Overture, is a journey, you know, and that tends to be in the music as well. So, and, you know, it's... God bless self-esteem. I mean, if this is not the journey of journeys, I don't know what it is.
I love listening to the song. I'm like the audience. I get to hear, you know, the last two shows, it's kind of been, no, three shows. Well, including that fun song.
Yeah, tra-la-la-la-la.
Right. But it's funny how changing the music is good because there does seem to be, you know, it goes with, without even knowing it, it fits the energy of what's been going on for us and in our conversations and then what, for the show. And, it's funny because on Facebook, I seem to be changing the pictures a lot. I just feel like, I don't know, it's about, you know, sometimes so in the past they've stayed there for weeks and then today I changed it twice.
I was just
interchanging in movement, and I went from Ireland to a painting of my own that was the wilderness, and it's, now that I think about it, it was about being internal and the internal landscape. And I do think that you discovering Carolyn Mace's self-esteem, you know, tape or CDs, very much to me, you know, if in order to really access self-esteem, and this is the chicken and the egg, actually, because it's both, that it is an internal process. And then, you know, and so that's what my painting was about today, was the internal.
Nice.
And that seems to be going the theme for me, too, and for the people that I've been working with. And so, you know, I guess ultimately, though, that is really... That is in a nutshell that it's within, and that, and when you live there, you recognize it. I do think that the shifts are amazing. The internal strength is amazing. The access to the intuition, but you know, it's not always necessarily easy, and it takes discipline. Our favorite word.
Yeah. You know. Preceded by not.
I always say to you, which is fun, but, I discovered that, and I can't remember who it was that said, discipline is to be a disciple of oneself.
Now
and
that,
I love that,
right on.
Right
on.
And
that's,
I love
beautifully
that because
stated.
That's right. There's self-empowerment, and it's internal, and it's not projection out into the outer world. It's, you know, so that fits this whole self-esteem. You know.
And it's interesting because, you know, as other words and definitions of our lives are changing, you know, literally as we're, you know, going through these experiences of late. I mean, last week, because it's so funny, last week was 7 days ago, but holy shit, it feels like I have lived 2.5 years in 1 week, you know, in the things that we've discussed and in the emotional upheavals, as well as the peaceful calmings and the being present and the clarity. Because I was reading somewhere today that someone brought up somewhere clarity being an emotion, and that they had never considered clarity an emotion. And I was like, you know what? I resonated that with that because, you know, it's a state of being. Clarity is, it's not just about the mind. My cells respond to clarity. My breathing, my muscles and my tissues and my bones, everything seems to respond to a clarity that it's more than just a head thing.
That's a good point. No, that's a really good point, because it does seem to be, there's, when the old use of up until 30 seconds ago, which would be the old use of clarity, because you've just given it a new, a whole new thing, because up until that point, you're right, there was almost a sterileness about it, and all of a sudden, almost when you said it, that it became much more of a sensation, and that's really cool, and so when you embody clarity as opposed to just this, a thought process, it is a different experience. You're right.
I
felt it when you said it, and I was like, wow, let me see how that feels. And I didn't even say that. I just did it, and it changed. The clarity changed from, which is so great, because definitions of words and belief systems of words and different uses of words and new words, they're just really, it's very prevalent for me right now,
And I don't think you're alone. I think that's all of us.
Yeah, and I don't think so either. Yeah. Just like this clarity, which is just, first of all, it's very inventive. I love it. It's like the word clarity has been out there for so long, and all of a sudden clarity took on a whole nother dimension when you said that, I was like,
because our way of being is going from just left brain to full body. That's what awareness brings. Awareness goes, because life is so much more than the five senses. Or if it's the five senses, it's clearly the five senses on a much deeper level. Because, it's not necessarily about getting into numbers either, that it's, 144 senses. It's just about understanding that, I was sitting in the woods this morning, and I was watching the sun at the reservoir, and at certain wave points, it would have a flash of light, a sparkle. And I started looking at it going, that's a language. It's a language, the language of the sparkling lights on the water. And I was like, let's see if I can figure out what it is. And what it became was that it became the clarity. And it wasn't about I had to write this equation down, like E equals M squared.
Right.
E2 equals M squared, whatever. It was the clarity to know, like I made a phone call, shortly after that and spoke authentically to somebody that I have not been authentic with recently. I found my resistances in that sparkling clarity. And because what was so interesting is I'm learning that when we're speaking with nature doesn't use words, which is, of course, we're on the radio show explaining these experiences through words, but it is so much deeper and so much more expanded than that, because it's becoming experiential, not just definitions. It's not about us just getting here and sharing definitions. It's the actual energy of the experience that's being radiated because of the experience. The experience, it's life's expression. That, sharing what's going on in the woods through pictures on Facebook, through the radio show, through just our beingness, is really having a profound effect on me and the people around me. Because it's so interesting, the clarity that I'm experiencing is hands down having a ripple effect in the people of my life. And that ripple effect is not all pleasant.
Yeah.
It is, it's just effective. I cannot hold on to outcomes, you know, because not everybody wants to, no, I want to say, not everybody is ready. There's a resistance. Hey, listen, it was a resistance in me. You know, the resistance makes the clarity not necessarily welcome at the doormat, you know, welcome at the front door. You know, it's not. And,
yeah.
You know, okay.
No, I was just thinking that, you remember when you were in the woods and the leaves were moving, but it was the invisible that
it was
moving.
The wind moving
it was
the leaves.
The wind, right.
Right. So I saw the space between the leaves as the entity, so to speak, because it was an entity moving through the woods. I could see it.
Yeah, and then there's the sunlight on the water creating this language, or
right.
You know, and it you know, and it's so interesting because I've been reading this book and it talks about like let's say for instance that the word clarity takes on a new like resonance in the body as an emotion or a sensation, or you embody it so much more than just a thought or a definition.
Okay.
And David Hawkins, yeah. He talks about at these levels that, you know, there's endorphins that are released. And what ends up happening is these new neurons open up. And I do think that, you know, for me, what ends up happening is you start really being open to the language of the sparkling sunlight on the water, or the, you know, it's like the poet's world, so to speak, where the nature.
Yeah, that's a beautiful way to put it. Yes.
Yeah, because you understand there's this language in nature and the moment, though, because you know that in that moment the sunlight on the water is that, and then all has to happen is a cloud goes by or the lighting changes, and then there's a
right.
whole other, you know. So
right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that there's sort of feels like this development is going on, and I'm in it. I'm observing it. I'm noticing it. You are, you know. I do think that changing songs, changing pictures, you know, listening, you know, calling someone. Realize, you know, almost absorbing the authenticity of the sunlight on the water just resonated with you to make a move, the call. I mean, it just all...
It really did. And it brought out... Because it was like... It was about courage. It was about being authentic. It was about... I started noticing my resistance with you. I mean, and I'll tell you, you know... I'll tell the audience, when I have resistance with Janine, which is like literally never, but I see, because I am one that if there's resistance in my body, I want to know what that resistance is. You know, this is, you know, kind of the game of life that's at my front door right now, is things come up that frustrate me, aggravate me, you know, push my buttons. And the whole game of self-esteem is really understanding that when those things are coming up, it's literally coming up because your spirit is literally inside of you going, okay, I'm with you from the inside. You consciously now look at this from in and use a clarity. You use the lens of I'm not afraid to look at this. I'm not afraid to become this.
Don't be biased. Like, don't be afraid that everything has to be on one side of the spectrum. Like, you know, if you're noticing resistance with me, you know, that, you know, hey, that's cool because, you know, I mean, that could be very interesting for you and me and a learning and, you know, a trust level and a friendship and
absolutely, because it's very new. I you know, I mean, I've known you for going on two and a half years, and so it was very important to me. But it was so funny because I'm finding with this clarity, this experiential clarity, it does not come from, you know, what I call, you know, the loop thinking, where you get a thought in your head and you loop it and loop it and loop it and loop it. No, no, answers do not come from that. Not the clarity experience. The clarity experience comes from literally the still point of going, I am this resistance. Like what I noticed in you, I said, that's me. I was like, Goldie, you're resisting something. So now let's slow down. Like I was taking some nice deep breaths. You know, I was in nature, which, God bless nature, even though I'm telling you, I am getting bit up out there, even with all my all my little smoking incense sticks and my organic mosquito repellent. I'm getting bit up out there. But you know what? I don't care because the peace is amazing. Or the clarity, I should say. And so I just, you know, I was just owning it because it becomes, what I have found is the resistance is now, it's like little pebbles in my shoe. Just look at it. Because I'm so used to self-reflection. I'm comfortable in looking at myself saying, you know, I've got issues. Definitely. I'm unstable. Yes. You know, all of this is my truth, but there is a level of movement that happens beyond my mind. It's beyond my thought processing because it's an organic movement. And it comes in the total acceptance of what is frustrating me, aggravating me, pissing me off, whatever it is. That's the first thing. And the second thing is kind of, you know, I guess ultimately what it is to know that, okay, so you have that in you. That, you know, I'm not failing my ascension. I'm not failing in my friendship with you, you know. And it's beautiful because you reflect that wisdom back. That okay, Goldie. So there's some resistance here. Okay, let's play with that. You know, it's wonderful to have authentic conversations because the authenticity is so the authenticity is the self-esteem in action. You know, Carolyn said something very amazing, Carolyn Mace, on her self-esteem. I highly recommend self-esteem. It's like 4 hours of Carolyn Mace, and you can get it on Sounds True for like $18.95, less than $20. Carolyn Mace talking about self-esteem. It's such brilliant work. I really recommend it. Anyways, what she says about self-esteem is that self-esteem is a verb. You don't read about self-esteem and say, I've got self-esteem. Because I got to tell the story about the kids when I was listening to them, listening to her in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
So if you've been following me on Facebook, I found this amazing space, a new space at the reservoir where it's just exquisite views of the water and some rock formations and, you know, I can actually walk out and put my feet in the water. Of course, I'm too frightened to do that, but I could if I wanted to. It was where I was talking about last week when I was talking to the little fish. Anyway, so I'm in my space. I'm listening to Carolyn talk about self-esteem. I've been in the woods for a good 2.5-3 hours, and all of a sudden, approximately 13 kids, teenagers, show up like 7 feet away from me. And, you know, it definitely threw me. To be honest, the initial feeling that came up for me when these kids showed up was, the best way to describe it is, I felt like I got caught masturbating. Because I wasn't masturbating at the time. I was, you know, just sitting there, you know, with my incense burning. I had a little, you know, Carolyn Mace speaker thing going on. And so, you know, I basically sat there, but I felt a tremendous amount of shame, a tremendous amount of, oh, my God, you know, what am I going to do? And then, of course, I cracked up because, you know, you kind of laugh to yourself going, well, you've just been listening to about 3.5 hours of Carolyn Mace talk about self-esteem. So maybe you want to apply that, Goldie. And it was like, you know, and so what I did is I just composed myself. Not that I ever lost composure, but internally I lost composure for about 30 seconds. I was just, I mean, I was not panicked, but just like, I just wanted to crawl under some covers, you know, and not be seen. So anyway, so I packed up my stuff. I'm walking past them, and, you know, they didn't notice me initially, but as I, you know, stood up and started packing up all my stuff, they did notice me. They became very quiet. It became very aware that I was aware of them. They're now aware of me. And what was amazing is as I was walking by them, there was one kid in the crowd sitting on a rock, and he goes, hey, how you doing? Listen, we're really sorry to disturb you. And it was like this wash of just an acceptance. The fear was gone. Everything that was negative in the whole experience. And I was like, no, I said, that's cool. I was like, I've been here for a while. You know, and I could see that, you know, there was a few kids already taking off their shoes and their sneakers, getting ready to, you know, put their feet or swim or whatever they were going to do. And, you know, and they brought soda, maybe it was beer. I don't know. They had bags full of drinks. I didn't know what it was. I didn't care. But when he said that, you know, and I was like, hey, no, it's cool. Listen, this is a beautiful spot. You guys enjoy. And when I walked away, it was so like, it was amazing because literally, So literally, I'm listening to self-esteem, and then in the spirit of life, in its fluidity and its synchronicity, there, you know what I'm trying to say, it shows me, you know, 13 kids to be in my self-esteem, to be it as a verb. And here's the amazing part about this story, which, Janine, you don't even know yet. I did you, by any chance, listen to George's new
Not yet,
interviews?
No.
Okay. Yeah. So George has two new interviews with the Zany Mystic. And in the second interview, he actually speaks about a woman who was reading his book. And right as she was reading her book on this park bench, another woman sits down next to her and starts babbling how Jesus has saved her and God is this and God is that. And the woman, when she was reading George's book, was right at the point where George was talking about the false prophets of Muhammad and the religion figures and, you know, some powerful stuff. And the lady laughed because she went, just as I'm getting to that part, the woman sits down, and the woman basically let her go on for a few seconds or a few minutes, whatever, and said to her, you know, listen, I appreciate it. You know, that's your path. I have my own path, and I'd really just like to continue reading my book, you know, kind of without listening to you babbling on about your path. And the woman who was babbling on responded very politely, and it was okay, you know. But George was like, he made a point to point out that he goes, look at it. See how Mother Nature brought her that experience just as she was reading that in the book, because we're in a timeless space right now. It's like life is just bringing us exactly what we need in the moment that, you know, to see the greatest, to experience the greatest clarity. I mean, I really anchored self-esteem when 13 kids showed up because in my history, 13 kids and me usually meant my ass was getting the shit kicked out of it. That's just how I, you know, and I get it that, you know, I'm 47. Those years are long gone. But it's funny how cellularly they're not. Because that was what showed up in my body going, you know, there's 13 of them and there's one of me. Nah, this is, I don't like the odds here. I don't like the numbers here. And yet, self-esteem, which is an absolute presence, the forest, an absolute presence, Mother Nature, an absolute presence, there was nothing but love going on there. There was nothing but respect and a gentleness of, because the young man that actually spoke, and now I'm going back to my story at the reservoir. The young man that spoke out of the whole group, I immediately knew, see, he has self-esteem. That's why it naturally just became him that spoke to me as a representative of some level of the group. I mean, and it was, we connected at that space, and and then when I heard it today with George going, yes, that's exact, you know, it's the timing. I'm going, oh, exactly, it's the timing. I mean, because when you start looking at life from the internal journey, everything will be, everything will talk to us. Everything will talk. The nature will talk to you. The radio will talk to you. Billboards will talk to you. Books will fall off of shelves and open to pages that will talk. You know, it will all speak to you when it's when you're in the internal journey.
Yeah, you know? That's great. Because yesterday I felt I put it off and it was hot. But I just, you know, you almost, or I almost on some level felt like, maybe I'll go lay down. And something said, no, I think you should do the opposite. Go move. Go move. Mm. And I was tired, but I just felt like moving and oxygen were what I needed more than laying down. So it was a listening. You know, it was
right
it
on.
Was, yeah. So you know, I went to the park, which is just, you know, acres and acres and acres of beautiful meadows and forests and dirt roads and hills and grass paths.
Nice.
Really beautiful.
Nice.
And I, you know, I was just moving along on this grass path, and I can't even tell you what the thought that was going through. It wasn't self-doubt, but it was sort of like, just keep moving, Jay, because the oxygen and the movement hadn't really done its thing yet with me. So I was just moving with the confidence that that was gonna be the thing that would help me, you know, kind of bring back my energy. And just as I was thinking, you know, that like here I am and I'm moving and I'm waiting for that oxygen to kick, and I look down and there's the most beautiful hawk feather. And it was like completely timed with a thought and a feeling. I just smiled and went, oh, okay, you know, it was
nice.
Right, so I picked it up and held it. Like, I didn't try to stick it in my hair, which sometimes you can do, but it ends up sort of ruining it. And you know, I wanted it to stay. It had this beautiful kind of fluffy delicacy, and so there was this awareness while I was walking that I would hold it in my fingers, and I didn't need to. I was just being delicate with myself, but I was moving, and then I was thinking about George and you and the sword and you know, truth telling, and I look down and there's the most long pointed feather of a blue jay, but it was so pointed.
God.
It was so pointed that I said, oh, there's the sword, you know, and,
wow.
And so, right. So that was, okay. So now I have a second feather, and this is, you know, this is not something that, oh, I walk along all the time and find feathers.
No, absolutely.
I
and I know from,
time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I usually, right. And then, I literally did, I don't know, I went, oh, do that loop. And I could tell that I was really putting time into the forest when, in fact, there was any given moment that I could go, oh, that's enough. But I don't know why, it was the opposite of what you would think, like, you know, lay down. No, I'm going to go move. Okay,
right.
Just do this. No, I'm
right.
going to do more. And then on the way back, and it's kind of fun to choose the way you want to go in that moment. Like, I don't have it all planned out, so I prefer to just go, oh, I'm going to go this way this time or that way. And then the next thing you know, I look down, and there's a beautiful goldfinch feather.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so there it was with, like, the blue jay, the goldfinch, and the hawk. And I thought, you know, there's just these beautiful, subtle gifts, you know, of listening to what might be, what might really be almost the opposite of what you think. You know, it was the intuition, most likely. You know, it's like, you know, I can't declare that it was, but because it was that kind of subtle, evasive, like you get in the car and you go, oh, I guess we're going to the park, you know. And, you know, and
yeah, did it almost feel like your body was, you know, kind of guiding you and your mind is going, okay, I'm following my body.
Yeah, right,
you know?
Right, because clearly it could have been go upstairs and lay down, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
Yeah, so then, you know, it's funny. I just came home with the three feathers and I was like,
nice.
And I felt the oxygen and the movement really did shift my, it shifted me, the energy. It was maybe, you know, maybe it was that, you know, stagnation or something, you know, and I don't really have issues of stagnation, but there could have been some there. And hey, that now that I say that, that reminds me of, you know, how you were calling me going, okay, so I'm detecting resistance. Now,
right.
who knows if, you know, on some level, energetically, you know, there's a part of me that's going, move. Because I really, and I used to call it walking, and I used to call it running, and now I call it moving. You know,
yeah,
and,
right
and,
on, right
yeah.
on.
And,
right on.
So it was another one of those, you're out there, and there's a reason, and, you know, you're getting the answers, and, you know, you've got
well,
the sun
three
dancing
answers.
On the water.
You're getting three confirmations. I mean, that really is, you know, I don't know about you, but when I find feathers, you know, when I find anything that nature is clearly sending
yeah.
me messages,
yeah. Yeah.
I am, you know, metaphorically only, doing backflips.
No, yeah. And you know, it's not even, I think this was, no, you know, you immediately
know.
You know.
I mean, and it's so significant. The blue jay is your bird, you know, the hawk, the goldfish, you know, it's like, come on, this is, you know, it's like, you know, wow.
Yeah,
so
that was just yesterday. And
Very nice. Well, I have a story, too, that I want to share, an insight, which is right along the lines of this. It was a great segue. Thank you, Janine.
Oh, you're welcome.
Because it really does appear that since I'm opening up to my self-esteem on a conscious level, it is definitely, you know, it's an interesting stream of presence and power and just presence and power to be playing with. So today, as I was self-reflecting my own resistance, I think I got this even before I made the phone call. I have lately been really feeling pregnant. I mean, like, my body is just, it's just amazing. I mean, my father tapped my belly. He's like, oh, you know, you think you should start thinking about losing some weight. And I was like, you know, and I tapped his belly and went, yeah, well, maybe when you do, I will. But it is significant. I feel very full in my belly. I feel full. So I'm sitting in the water, you know, sitting in the woods, watching the water. And I'm just going, I got resistance about this. I just know I do. I have resistance about this. And I'm breathing and I'm breathing. And all of a sudden it hits me. See, I love George because George absolutely, he when he says things, they seem to slip by my firewalls, which are my defenses, and go right into the heart of the matter, which, of course, that's what a sword carrier's job is, to literally, you know, stick the truth in so that it penetrates the experience. So I'm sitting there and I'm rubbing my belly and I'm thinking, you know, in the resistance, you know, all the things about the reasons why society doesn't like big bellies and, you know, all the marketing that goes on to get rid of the bellies and all the liposuction that's going on to suck out the bellies and, you know, I'm just really in that side of the polarity. And then it hits me that George said in, it was in this the Zany Mystic interview, I don't know if it was part one or part two, but it was in this interview, that he talked it once again, he's spoken of this before, but he spoke once again about the whole idea of the zero point. What's essentially going to happen to us is we're going to go into the zero point, which is, you know, literally going to compress us, you know, the entire universe to the size of, you know, an atom. And when we pop out the other side, it's going to be, the way he said, we're going to be turned inside out. And, you know, I get it. You want to look at that and go, oh, this is metaphorically. And I'm going to myself when I was sitting out there rubbing my belly, thinking about the polar opposite of all the negatives because I have a big belly to, but if I was going to be turned inside out, then what if what's in my belly is, you know, like a big ball of conscious light? Like, what if I am literally housing this new aspect of myself, this new, the homo illuminis is literally growing inside my belly. Now, this is not, you know, because when I spoke with Janine earlier, she's like, so you don't think you'd see a baby, right, if we did an MRI.
We did an ultrasound.
Did an ultrasound, and I was like, no, I, you know, this is not a delusion that, because to be honest, the new homo illuminis is a very different human species. You know, this homo illuminis, we don't eat, we don't defecate, we radiate completely from within. I'm not interconnected. I don't need sustenance outside of me to keep me going. So what would make me think that the light within that expression would necessarily be humanoid? You know, it almost feels like it has a malleability that it can express itself as many things, if not infinitely anything. So, no, I don't believe it's a baby, but I do believe, I don't even believe, I know that because as soon as I did, I put my, as soon as this clarity washed over me, I mean, like, I can't even tell you, it was like a Max Egan moment, you know, where I started understanding, you know, how, like, it felt like liposuction was, you know, so much part of the agenda, where it's like it's sucking the soulful parts out of people. And I had this warmth and this whoosh. It was a whoosh. And Susan, you know that whoosh, because you shared something with me too. And the whoosh of to love and nurture this bump in my belly, not to negate it and be ashamed of it, and not even hide it, nurture it, show it, because when I turn inside out, the years, and that's not an exaggeration, I have been working internally on myself for years. The fruition of that, the fruit of that labor is what's inside of me. Because this is a journey, you know, everybody keeps going, the journey within. It's like, I mean, let's be real then. The journey within, I is growing inside of me. That journey is. Self-esteem is adding to my experience within, unplugging from the matrix, adding to the experience within, being authentic, adding to the experience within. So why does it surprise me that in the time that we're getting towards the, you know, we're in the compression, it's coming closer and closer to the zero point, that my belly would not be expanding out further and further, farther and farther, as an expression of that which is within me is growing exponentially. And I know it based on my experiences, because I'm, you know, when the chaos happens and the shit's hitting the fan, you know, I find myself, it's funny because I put my hands on my heart a lot, but I put my hands on my belly a lot, like when I'm watching TV or when I'm in the forest, or I don't know, there's just this self-nurturing going on, and it's, I'm realizing that what's inside of me is actually, it's my spirit, and my soul It's in me. It's growing in me, in the physical. Because I mean, I pick out pieces of certain channelings and stuff that just blow me away. And I heard something recently from Crimson Circle that said, you know, God is ready to be human. And it's like, my soul is, God to me is my soul. My soul is indeed integrating in the physical experience. It's here with me, experiencing the polarity, experiencing all of it, but from a space that is much, you know, the vastness that comes with it is the reason why clarity is no longer a left brain definition, but it's actually why it's an experiential experience. How redundant. that I'm experiencing. Sorry. How did I get down this rabbit hole? Okay. But it was really amazing because when I got that, me and my body, it's so funny because I grew up very, very thin. I mean, very thin. I didn't weigh 100 pounds till I was 18 and went on the pill. You know, I didn't have any curves. I was so, you know, I was a gymnast and it worked out perfectly. And most of my life in my 20s and most of my 30s, you know, I was just a slender woman. And getting heavy, as you know, I have this. It's so funny because it's thrown me for a loop, you know, because I'm like, oh, this is new. I'm definitely experiencing, you know, a new perspective of how people look at me and how I look at me and what I'm capable of doing, what I'm not capable of doing. And what's really interesting about this is when I have the wisdom, and it's a knowingness inside me that, because I laugh, because I go, I know there's not a baby inside of me, but I also know that there will come a point in my experience, I don't know when, but there will come a point when it will just out of me. Mm-hmm. You know, like, and I know it's crazy, because, but you don't have a baby inside you, Goldie. I know, but I can't tell you where this knowledge comes from, where this knowingness comes from. But I know it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just do. And this is, I'm not making an excuse for myself. And, you know, I'm trying to let people, see, this is the connection. It's the language I get from Earth. And then, of course, see, George, when it hit me today, which, like I said, I've heard George say about us turning inside out before. I own a lot of George's material. And, you know, I've heard him say that. But in this particular day, when I was seeking the resistance and I was seeking, you know, the flow again, it just became so apparent to me that, you know, you're not fat, Goldie. You're pregnant. You are. So, you know, would you be ashamed if it was a human baby? What? And it's like, well, no, of course not. And it's like, well, then don't be ashamed because it's homo illuminous.
Right.
You know, own it. Because, by God, you know, it's, the only reason why it is as big as it is because I've nurtured it.
But it's funny.
It's your creation, Goldie. You know, enjoy it. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, you know, the whole connection with self-esteem and the sun and then the consciousness and the, you know, the homo illuminous. But it's so funny because I was thinking, well, there's a sun inside, but I'm going, oh, S-O-N, S-U-N. You know, and I, you know, when I had that dream of standing next to my son, meaning Zach, and, you know, I had that dream of the son, and I wasn't in it yet. And yet, even in our discussion about you sensing resistance in me, and you're like, you're in the sun, you're not outside the sun, you're in the sun. And, you know, I think that there is a great metaphor for that because, or even in actuality, that
right.
That
right.
This is about that I'm in the sun is in me, the awareness that you're having, especially you're almost, to me, you're interpreting things at a new level, like the language of the sun on the water, then you make the call to speak the truth. There's like a level that, the connection to self-esteem, and then to me that is the sun, and then your recognition of liposuction, which you did mention to me, and then I said, yeah, you know, and in my own way I was going, yeah, it's almost as if, you know, they're trying to suck out the deep feminine nature. And then I said, with my humor, I go, and I go, which is impossible, you know,
right.
And it is, you know, there's no such thing as removing the deep feminine nature, but in some strange way in this conditioned culture, there seems to be a lot of that.
Well, it's almost like the whole GMO, you know,
the attempt of it, or the annihilation of it, but it's impossible. And that's the good news, because those kinds of things are not, they're really not extinguishable. They're just not, and that's kind of the amazing thing to me is that, you know, there's just, like this, there's someone, you know, you and I have discussed this before where, you know, I forget who it was that said, the soul is not penetrable to corruption. It just isn't. It's, and I believe that the deep feminine nature, like that energy is not, you know, it's ridiculous to think that you can actually make that, you know, go away, you know, and so in
well,
our,
but I think you can definitely scare it on some level from not being physical. I don't think
it has to necessarily
drop into our bodies.
I don't think that man, meaning mankind or culture, by, you know, the acts, such harsh acts of like crazy surgery, these are all attempts on some level to alter and extinguish deep feminine nature, but it's impossible. I mean, it really is. That is like saying, you know, there's no such thing as infinity, and it's like, yes, there is. You know, and so
right.
Me,
it's a paradox. It's a paradox
To think that, you know, the acts in this realm could. They just couldn't. They can't. But they.
Well,
but
what they can do is make you believe that it can be done.
Exactly.
Therefore, you can get it. You'll keep it away because you believe that what they're doing to you is keeping it away.
Right, but in fact, it's not. You know what I mean? You can
not
believe
completely.
It, but it's
not.
Not
completely.
Right. So you know, these things are too powerful beyond comprehension to me. The deep feminine nature, the universal, you know, energy, our own personal energy, but I think that with you that there's definitely been, and it's interesting to notice that within the resistance then came, of course, because to me this is creative tension. This is how it always works. There's this resistance. There's this tension. You hold it. It's uncomfortable. You look at it. You kind of, you know, toss it around, and then you give into it, and then there's the new awareness.
Exactly.
You know? And sometimes you'll say to me,
chaos before creation. Exactly.
Yeah, or organization, or, you know, or always like, you know, the heartbeat contracts and then it lets go. And the heartbeat contracts. You know, it's always that pause, and then so I just see a lot of this all connected. When you look back at it now and you go, oh, there it is, you know, yeah, so the sun to me, and I keep going to my dream going, yeah, isn't that funny? You know, I'm in the sun, and part of me keeps sometimes forgetting that, you know, I'm like, which you reminded me of the other day, you know, yeah, that I was standing outside of it, and that I'm like, yeah, and, you know, I think that's all self-esteem work and self-esteem, and that's what I've been working on. And of course, clients that come to me reflect me back to me, and, you know, in intensities, of course, you know, not necessarily completely, like, you know, you're reflecting me, I'm reflecting you, the cranky.
I'm hearing resistance, Janice.
You are?
Yeah.
Really?
Well, when you say not completely, it's like, no, it's all you, babe. It's all
what
you.
What do you mean? I didn't get it. Oh,
the reflection is all you. There's no levels there. It's you.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just know that, you know, when people come and, you know, they have issues too, and those issues are their issues, but they're reflecting issues to me, and then I get to work on them for myself and with them, you know. And
definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's almost like the creation is when I haven't worked with a lot of clients. I mean, I tend to just have friends that I talk to or whatever,
yeah.
But it seems like we find the reflection that is really, you know, it's a yin and yang kind of thing. You know, we each hold a piece of each other, so to
yes.
speak, and you know, going within is, you know, is an interesting concept, because ultimately the going within is only comes after you've been looking outside of you at the things that make you go, oh, that's me. And if I like that, okay, good. If I don't like that, okay, now I need to go within and, you know, what do I need? Do I need to flip the belief? Do I need to expand the belief? What do I need to do?
Yeah.
You know, because the outside really, I don't know how the monks did it, you know, if they never saw anybody or never had any interactions with people. Because, I mean, I couldn't do it without, you know, that's what I love Scott. Scott is definitely, he helps me see the self-esteem definitely in intimate relationships, because
yeah.
I basically have had intimate relationships with other people, but I didn't commit to those relationships, and in the lack of commitment, I didn't get to the level of victim and victimizer and, you know, all those deeper level of emotions until I was committed to somebody who then brought all of that out with me. You know, it's like, you know, as far as I was, as deep as I was willing to go is as deep as the relationship has been taking us. I mean, it's really, and it's not ending. You know, it's still taking me deeper down the road. So when I heard you say that, you know, it's like, you know, not to the depth, well, let it go to the depth. Take, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, lose yourself in your client. And here's what's interesting, because let me be honest now, too. And see, this is what I got during our conversation the other day, is like Carolyn Mace has a lot of clarity. She's astutely clear on, she can read energy. But Carolyn Mace doesn't, in my humble opinion, doesn't feel to the level of other teachers that I've worked with, or, you know, she gives you the facts straight up. Here are the facts. This is what your energy is doing. This is, you know, and my feeling nature is definitely, I have much more opening to do in my
yeah.
feeling nature. And you do, you're very open. I mean, your ability to sense the subtleties comes from your feeling nature being open. You could not have that awareness. Your astuteness comes from your open feelings. And it's interesting, because it's almost, I'm realizing as I'm saying this, you know, so for me to say, take it deeper, it's like, oh, yeah, you know, kiss my ass, Goldie. I got it as deep as I need, because the feeling nature almost gets so much more clarity without going that deep. You don't have to go into the depth of total depression, hell, anger, because
mm-hmm.
you can learn much more, you know, by just, you know, not going that deep, but still feeling it authentically and openly. And so, you know, it's like the left hemisphere telling the right hemisphere how to play. And, you know, the right hemisphere is going, you don't even know our game. So you just go play left hemisphere. Because I know and it's funny, because I'm a left-handed person. So it's really my right hemisphere that is more dominant.
Yeah.
But my conditioning is where I put all my emphasis in my left hemisphere. So, which is the thinking and the, you know, I'm astute, but my feeling nature is, you know, you are more courageous than me in the feeling nature department, and I'm working on that. I am. And part of the reason why I keep my astuteness, you know, on point is because I don't want to feel bad. I've always said the reason why I do emotional work is I don't want to feel pain in my body.
Mm.
I mean, that it was, you know, that was the driving force. I don't want to feel. So therefore, I become super aware.
Well, you know, that's such a good, you know, that brings up something that's been coming up for me lately in talking, which of course, yeah, absolutely, every word that comes out of my mouth that I deliver, you know, is for me as well. But sometimes I go, oh, that's good, you know. But when you just said that, I recall that I've been saying several times lately that we've been conditioned, and this becomes an aha for many people when they hear it, and we've been conditioned to be afraid of our feelings. And our feelings are not our enemy, they're our ally, because they're tipping us off to just truly how intelligent we are and what we need to know. And what I get from society from, you know, obviously early childhood on, first of all, anyone who's afraid of their feelings is going to encourage their child not to feel, and they're also going to make them, they're also going to make them feel wrong for having feelings. But at the crux of it, which is something, you know, I look at these things a lot because it's like following a thread, and then I'm even surprised by it. But I go, the very nature of being afraid of your feelings is that you literally, the ultimate thing is that you become afraid of yourself. Because you are, if you're feeling these things and you're afraid to feel them, then what you're really thinking is you're afraid of yourself. And then where does that put you? So, you know, but what I've noticed, and I think this has a lot to do with what I was saying about you sensing this, you know, sunlight within, or this sun being within, or this new you, and also your ability to kind of interpret differently or more now, or, you know, I'm getting that when you say something like that, I'm surprised that it only takes once to say it and you get the person going, oh. It's not even like, wow, I felt that resistance on their part. It's like, whoa, they got it. And that seems to be, to me, what's going on in these times right now, where the information is more accessible and people are more open to it. And it's like the timing's right, so to speak, you know?
Right on.
And that's all good because, you know, it's been a while that, you know.
You think?
Yeah.
I think about 26,000 years.
But yeah, so it's funny. It's funny for me. And you know, it's kind of like how do I explain this? That you get surprised by your own surprise that you're surprised, because I'm like, you know, it's like
right,
every day I'm noticing, wow, there is something going on here. Cause you know, cause just the interpretation, people are getting it. I'm going, wow, this is great. This, you know, it's, I just am noticing it, and I'm noticing it within myself, and I'm like, even reading this book right now, tidbits of it that really work well with everything else that's you know, that I'm reading or absorbing or talking to you about, and next thing you know, he's saying, because basically all the belief systems start to fall away when you realize I'm an infinite being. And I go, there it is again, you know, because with
Georgia said that, and that's also
right.
Robert Young has also said that.
And George said it, and then I decided, ooh, that would be really interesting to, you know, entertain that at another level. And then I noticed, you know, this couple of days of sort of like strange, subtle disorientation, and I'm going, well, that's what you get for entertaining that you're an infinite being, where you're going, hi, Jay, how are you? And I'm going, I really can't talk right now. And you know, I think somewhat that's going on for me right now, that not even, you know, I'm not trying to like skate on the resistance thing, but I almost think that when you're deep in these processes, you're like, Goldie, I would tell you what's going on if I actually knew.
Yeah.
There's
right
changes.
On.
There's deep
changes.
And there's
yes.
newness that you almost can't put definitions on, you know?
Right
and
on. Right
and you're
on.
And you're
right
even
on.
Going to yourself, would be really good if you could get some definitions on this, you know. And
well,
and
see,
so
that's what the left brain wants. So, and you know, it's funny. It's got to surrender, though. It's got to surrender
right,
that.
Basically, we end up. Well, you know, I'm comfortable then is going to imagery and archetype and, you know, and thinking in terms of like pictures or, you know.
Yes. That's how nature talks. Pictures are feelings, you know, which I believe is how the animals talk as well. I have a lot of animal communicator friends, and animals also speak in pictures, you know. So,
it's been funny because some things right now you can sense them, and you're still sort of going. Up, they're gonna come up more, and I'm gonna get it. But I know there's something going on, and you know, and it's just I'm noticing it with everybody, people that are showing up in my life, you know, synchronicities again and again and again and again. And like you said, though, you know, you're not responsible for the reactions of others. Neither am I, but you know, it doesn't mean that it's, you know, it's all going to be received or, you know, there will be some maybe chasms created or some rough spots or, you know, some undoing, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's part of the chaos, I think, you know, it's not prejudice. This change is not prejudiced. It's happening on every level of every sentient conscious being on the planet. You know, it's like, because when you think about it, you know, it's literally the building blocks of reality are changing. You know, like, because I was talking to a friend on the phone the other night, and we were talking about, you know, like, this isn't just change. It's not just humans going through this change. The planet's going through the change, and everything in her, on her, is going through the change. Everything in the entire solar system is going through this change. Then into the universe. You know, it's like, you know, that when we look at the scale of the change, it like, my left side of my brain wants to know. So, you know, I put my hands on my belly, and today I know there's a being of light that's me that is being birthed inside of me. And I'm committed to that belief, committed wholeheartedly, because in the moment that I felt it and I expressed it to myself, it just clicked. It went and it worked. But you know what? Tomorrow, if there's a new truth that shimmers my way from the water telling me something different, I'm open to that as well. You know, because the language of feelings is comfortable not knowing.
Yeah.
But the language of knowing needs to know. And so my knowing, I need to know today, but literally if something, I'm open in the knowing department that tomorrow I could say something completely opposite and paradoxical to what I just said tonight and have absolutely no shame, regret, or remorse about feeling differently, you know, about owning that different truth.
Mm.
You know, it's an interesting thing because it essentially gets us to the same place, but it uses kind of two different perspectives because my strong perspective for me is my knowingness. That is my strength. And I lack in the feeling department, which hanging out with you and you know, becoming close with you is showing me, you know, like, listen, slow down, Goldie, you know, don't, you know, sense more, you know, you're really in your just authentic being, knowing your authentic being, feeling knowingness. Hanging out with that is helping my knowingness through the awareness expand tremendously. And I, you know, and I'm feeling, oh my, you know, it's not that I'm, you know, I'm not numb, not by any stretch, but I'm nowhere near is, you know, in tune to those frequencies as you are. I'm in tune to a knowing that just drops into me. I'm not working for this knowing. I am in the sense of I have to prepare my body in order to receive it. But
yeah.
Other than that, the knowing is a complete, drop, it. And like I said, though, but I'm open to that changing because in the last 2 years, that's, my truths have been, I was building Merkabahs just a year ago. I'm not building Merkabahs anymore. And the funny part is, I know I have one. How's that for you? it's really kind of, neat how, you coming into my life really with the, because, I want to share too that Janine is literally, I would say, well, besides Scott, you and Scott are the only two people that are close to me, in my inner circle that are not triggered in competitive conversations or not conversation, competitive energy. I have competitor in me. That it's an archetype, and the competitor is, in my humble opinion, is the negative side of it's not the team player. That's not necessarily what is the polar opposite of competitor?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. Like, I'm not really sure. I mean, team player is competitive, although there's also,
because you're
solar.
Still competing,
yeah.
It's just as a group. So
right.
I wanted to go deeper than that because you so beautifully show me my competitor by never showing up competitively with me ever. I mean, like, and it's flooring because you're the, I have it with Scott, but I have it with Scott on a level. Scott doesn't really do the level of dialogue that we have,
Right.
I enjoy talking. Talking for me is a way of exchanging energy, to be quite honest. And I exchange it with Scott differently, but he's not competitive with me. But you meet me in my verbal and are not competitive, and it's like it's so obvious. I mean, it's like, and it's beautifully, it neutralizes so much of my of my paradigms that I'm used to spending quite a lot of time in. It's amazing how and I really believe that this is all part of, the desire to become a balanced person. Because it seems to me on some level what's happening inside of us is we're balancing ourselves. Flipping beliefs is, it's not about, because in order to flip the belief, first you got to own it that you are that belief. So it's not about, people are talking about, releasing, and you're not releasing if you're saying I own it. If anything, it's the opposite. It's total acceptance. And it seems total acceptance brings balance to it that then you can move beyond it where, where I'm not competing with you, where I'm noticing my own competitional energetics, and when they don't get fed, it's like, okay, let's let that paradigm go, and let's work more from sovereignty. Let's work more from the self radiation of a luminosity. Not that you're going to feel better because you're going to say you've got something in somebody and you don't, Janine. And it's like, and it's so funny because, like I said, we'll have those conversations, and Janine just won't pick up that. I'll serve the ball to her in tennis, and she goes, "Nope, not playing that one."
I'm not even aware that I'm not playing. I'm just. Like,
I know, because it's so authentically you. I mean, really, it's such a the purity of your spirit and your heart is uncompromised. It's uncompromised,
huh.
And I've never run into this. Let alone as a best friend. I mean, it's like, it's an amazing experience to have that as a reflection. It's amazing because you see how it neutralizes simply by not playing, which is, that seems what Mother Nature, kind of how she works. She, Even though she can also, boy, she can bang out a good storm, too, and kick everybody's ass in one swoop.
Right. But it's all authentic.
But it's all authentic. That's true.
It's
that's
just
true.
What is.
Yeah, right,
but,
on,
you know,
definitely.
But that's good, Goldie. I don't know. That's one of those nice leveling It's like take the group down to the, like, you know, the soul. That's how it felt. That was nice.
Well, that's what this whole week has felt. You know, they're really, because this is the another thing Carolyn says that is, you know, it hit me profoundly.
Yeah.
You need self-esteem to connect with your intuition.
Yeah.
You know, and I want to talk about this because it really, you know, we've got to believe in ourselves. I mean, this is, we're the time is running out. Oh, because that was another thing, too, that hit me that, you know, it's becoming more and more obvious, even, like, just on something like Facebook. I am only attracted to, like natural pictures, even though your pictures are, you know, you've painted the forest, and I'm very attracted to your work, even though it's not necessarily, quote-unquote, you know, the actual, you know, you're not, it's not realism, it's your, and I like your work, but, like, these, what I call, like, cotton candy pictures of, like, fractals and fairies, I don't know what it is, but I'm, like, physically getting nauseous. You know, I'm like, I'm not resonating with it.
Right. Maybe because it feels artificial or something.
Yeah, just it's not the frequency I'm at. I mean, that it's clear to me that when I see that, it doesn't bring a joy into me. And I've looked back on, like, older posts on Facebook, and it's like, no, I know I was into that at one point, and, you know, but at this point, it's like really organic. I'm really.
Well,
like,
you know,
dirt. I want dirt.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if anyone else is feeling what you said about the competition, and then there's that I don't. You know, there's no competition coming out of me back at you, and it's just a really incredible noticing. But you know, with that coming from you and. There was, I don't know, I felt something happen for me. Like, even if there was resistance going on for me in the last few days that, you know, maybe it was unnamed. There was a softening that occurred when you said that. Like, I don't know if anyone else is feeling it, but, it was really beautiful. And
Thank
it's
you.
Almost like when, you know, we hit those chords that are, I don't know, they're almost perfect.
They're true. They're true.
They are. And
I'm feeling that, yeah.
Yeah, aren't you? And I almost, I was like, is there any way to slow this show down? Because I'm feeling, like, I was like, whoa, you know, so it was almost like I couldn't move on after that in a good way. Not like, you know, it was like, oh, I want to stay here. This feels really, it felt
See,
so.
Because you know the feeling.
Yeah, it was so much feeling. No, but it was really beautiful. And, you know, it's so amazing when you hit something like that where, you know, it's all sensory. It's all feeling. It's like, you know, for instance, if you're in the room and say someone who's giving a lecture or somebody comes forward and they say something that, you know, all of a sudden the room has a different feeling. That's how I felt when you were saying that. And
nice.
Yeah. And
nice.
You know, it's so cool because I don't know, it's just, it's almost like all the days up until this point were for that moment or something, you know? And I felt a shift in myself. I felt a softening in myself. It was like,
nice.
Yeah, right?
No,
so,
it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah,
see, when
thanks.
You describe it, then I can feel it. I feel it when you give me the words. Because me, you know, I'm zipping along the left side of
right,
the brain.
Right.
Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Right, but there right was on. This there was this feeling that I was like, we got to go back there.
Right on.
It was you know, it was palpable. And so anyway, I just wanted to really say that. And
no, thank you for bringing that to our attention, my attention. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's the dance we do. That boy, I've never had this dance with anybody. Not like this, where, you know, I honor you for how you see it. You honor for me for how I see it. And together, you know, we're more than together than we are separate. You know,
right.
That's beautiful. And without the competition, all it is supportive. I mean, there's nothing that it never gets drained. It's always just being pumped with support because it's not it's not dualistic.
Exactly. And it's cooperative and it's creative.
Creative. And what's the word you always say when you do the book? Collaborative.
And also beautifully, you know, just in the archetype of the tarot cards, the sun card. The sun card is the twins. It's the collaborative, high self-esteem, high creative card. And it's beautiful, the sun card. And, you know, and it just all falls into place so beautifully. And, you know, once again, as I always point out, none of these things can be planned. And it's kind of like, I love flying by the seat of her pants, because probably that is Carolyn Mace's intuition. And, you know, you become more practiced at it and almost reflection and go, oh, there it is, you know. And then, you know, you get to trust it more. And I thought that the point you made, you know, sometimes the intuition isn't necessarily the voice that part of us wants to hear.
Yes.
You know, did you ever hear that expression when someone will go, oh, so say someone's talking to someone who they feel is wiser than them, and they go, oh, I can't make up my mind. Should I do this or should I do that? And the person will say to them, well, which one kind of makes you more uncomfortable and scares you? And they tell them, they go, oh, that's the one you should do.
Yeah, well, see, but most people are follow your bliss, follow your joy.
Right,
but the wise person said that.
Right, the wise person said that. Right, because it's usually that one where your soul's going, come on, you know, come on, you know, and I think about that because that's a good one. I mean, really, I look at that and go, hey, I think about that in terms of like when I think of climbers or, you know, you're doing handholds and feet holds and you see a place to go put your hand to, and you go, ooh, you know, it's a little funny, it's a little scary, and you go for it. You know, I think that's, you know, the intuition, I've been hearing people,
Well, self-esteem is paradoxical. So that's a great segue, what you just led us into, because, paradoxical. See, self-esteem, when we are filled with self-esteem, ultimately we'll become invisible.
I know. I love when you say that.
It's so brilliant when you really understand what that means.
And that makes sense.
Totally.
If you think about it, true self-esteem really removes all that egoic look at me and
exactly
just,
any
right,
kind of energetic connections that you're feeding off of others, those are done.
Polarity. Conflict, because if you're conflictual, you'll end up being attractive to, you know, that conflictual force. And so, I loved that. You will be invisible.
Invisible. I mean, that's the goal. To have self-esteem is where you don't need validation from the outside.
Right. And it's those masters that walk among the crowd and they're not noticed. You know?
Exactly. And, you know, because I'll tell you, that was fitting in with, you know, the whole idea that my physical body is becoming, it is, it's a body shape now that in the very wealthy area that I live in, I clearly go unnoticed. I mean, I just go unnoticed. I'm not so big that they, you know, make fun of me.
Yeah.
I'm just big enough that they don't even look at me. And, you know, because I was thinking about it, too, because, like, I mean, I don't wear makeup anymore. I don't get my – I get my hair done, like, once every 6 months. I get my nails done for an occasion, like, you know, my birthday party or something like that. But, you know, I pretty much, you know, I'm a la naturelle, you know, and I can remember a day. You know, I was thinking about this the other day, you know, the light years – and it's interesting because what we talked about earlier on the phone – the light years of where I used to be to where I am now, you know, there was a time I wouldn't go get the mail unless I was, you know, I done my hair and had makeup on or, you know, I mean, like I used to tan with the creams from head to toe, my entire body, you know, I colored my hair blonde. I put on the fake nails. I mean, Could I be any more or less authentic? You know, I was just, and it's so funny because even when I did all of those things, I mean, occasionally I'd feel good about myself, but the average, if not most, even more than the average, most of the time, the flaws were still raging, you know, something wasn't right, you know, my teeth or my hips or whatever. I mean, it's funny because, I mean, at this point, I don't even focus on that. I was focusing more on my belly because I literally feel pregnant. And, you know, that it wasn't necessarily because, you know, like yesterday I ordered 13. God bless the number 13. It's just popping up everywhere. In fact, listen to this, too, just so I don't stop my. I ordered 13 T-shirts from Hanes because I'm starting Olivia, my new job tomorrow. And I was like, you know, I just want a big T-shirt that's comfortable, you know, she can throw up on it or snot on it. You know, I mean, I'm taking care of a little baby. And I just throw it in the wash and, you know, put it on again. It's 13. I got enough for a few weeks, you know, where I can I just want to, you know, they're different colors. I got all different colors, the yellows, the greens, the pinks, the oranges, the maroons, the blues. I'm excited, you know, but it was like, yeah, it was, you know, it's literally just, you know, it's an extra large T-shirt, men's T-shirt. I'm happy in that. I don't need a makeover.
Right.
I'm really quite content, and I'm thinking of actually going to a maternity store to potentially get the pants with the with the little panel that allows for the extended belly, because it's just the nature of my body shape right now. It's like, oh, that would really work. I haven't done that yet though, but I'm thinking about it. But listen to this. I'm over Sahana's house yesterday, Sahana and Anya, and we were coloring. We were always coloring. And it was just this is striking me to share with you that and I'm going to take a picture of it. I'm going back on Wednesday. Sahana makes a spaceship. Now, Sahana, I know Sahana. She's never drawn spaceships. And it was a rocket, you know, just kind of very, you know, the USS Apollo, whatever. But and then she starts drawing the number 13.
Wow.
Yeah, and I mean, Sahana's not even in school yet. I mean, she's in preschool, but I go, what are you drawing 13 for? And she's like, I don't know. I'm like, okay. I was like, you know, what about the space, you know, the spaceship? And I was like, you going anywhere soon? And she's like, no. And I was like, okay, you know, are they showing up, you know, in your dreams? And she's like, no. I was like, you just wanted to draw a spaceship. And I mean, when you see the picture, it's a great picture. I'm gonna end up. I was like, I want that for my car. You know, my little Sistine Chapel I have going on in my car.
Yeah.
But I just, it's so fun because 13. It was so, you know, 13 kids showed up. I bought 13 T-shirts. Sahana's drawing the number 13. It's like the number 13 is Scott's birthday, January 13th. It just seems very, I don't know, just
January 13th,
profound.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Friday the 13th was just.
Right on.
Was just last Friday. Yeah.
This Friday, the Friday that just passed, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I've been I don't know. I just think there's so much going on that, you know, I mean, as we speak, I just get an email and it's all about dreams and following a bluebird into a dream and
nice.
because using it as a portal, and I'm like, oh my God. And then, insights are really coming my way. It seems I struggle, then get to a breaking point, and then things slow again.
that's the new level of being, exactly.
Right, and that's the creative process, and that's, you know, it is. So it's just all right there, you know. It's kind of, the email was kind of like finding the feather. As you're talking, I'm going, oh,
yeah, exactly. Exactly, that's what it reminds me. Well, I want to share a story that a listener sent in. I won't use any names because she didn't give me permission to use the story, but it's such a great story. I gotta share it. So this listener has, you know, a setup that all around her computer is, she makes a lot of what I would call, you know, it's art, but it's nature's art. She uses rocks and wood and feathers and moss, you know, all very earthbound art.
And
beautiful
bark.
Stuff. And
bark.
Yeah. It's all nature, you know, it's not the you know, it's not the fractal stuff of, you know, computer world and stuff. It's nature. So she was noticing that, and she went to her closet, and way in the back of the closet was a trophy that she had won for Halloween's best costume. She was at a party, and she won the best costume 2 years in a row, I might add. And she noticed this trophy was in the back of the closet, and, you know, she had initially put it back there thinking it was in the way. And what she did was she pulled out the trophy. And on her, you know, her altar or where she keeps her computers and all this art that she's made, she had a statue of Kuan Yin. And she took the Kuan Yin statue down and she put her own trophy for winning first place in the contest up. And she literally felt the shift in her world because she did that. I mean, energetically felt it, that she's now honoring herself, not a deity outside of her. And, you know, I know that sounds like a simple experience, but, you know.
No, I think it says everything.
It's profound.
I think it says everything because it wasn't even an intention of hers. Oh, I'm going to take this and put it. It happened in this. As you explained it to me, it happened in this, like, feeling recognition instant moment.
Exactly.
And, right? And
very consciously aware.
It even
aware.
Took
very.
Her by surprise.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's what I got of it when you told me the story, that there was, like, a, you know, a recognition, but those were the powerful moments.
She told this to me through an email, and the subject line, it was, I am. And it's exactly what it was. It was her acknowledging self. It was her self-esteem. You know, because it really is important that, remember, self-esteem is a verb.
Yeah.
Self-esteem is something, by choice, we bring it into our lives. You know, I made the call today. When I called my friend up and said, listen, I need to be authentic, that was not an easy call for me to make. My body was, I was nervous. I was nervous to do it, and it was funny because after the call, boom, then you get the clarity. And it's funny because Carolyn will tell you, you're not on a spiritual path for reward.
Yeah.
You can't do it for rewards because the whole idea of God being a reward / punishing God, that's a very old paradigm. But I'll tell you, when you are authentic, there are authentic things that you come to expect, and they do show up. It's not a reward. See, a reward basically gives the inclination that, you know, I receive because you've chosen to bless me. Mm. Where self-esteem, it reminds me of, there is a saying, what's the gift of patience? And the answer is patience itself. Right.
Right.
What's the gift of self-esteem? Self-esteem is the gift of self-esteem. It's right. You know, when you're willing to allow yourself to know, you know, and it's interesting because it's definitely something that I know it's one of my gifts because, you know, I was in first grade. That was the first year I ever skipped school. Why? Because I knew I could. It's as simple as that. I've always known I could do things. I knew I could sell drugs and not get caught. I mean, I just knew that. And it's like, well, how do you know that? Well, you get a view of the rules, and then you learn how to play by them. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the key to awareness. You know, I knew I could go bankrupt. I knew I could marry Scott and feel deep love for him, you know, as deep as I'm able to feel. And the more I feel, the deeper it gets. Because, you know, it's so amazing. The self-esteem, I chose those examples I just shared with you because every example I just chose you, society would have told me, no, you can't. Mm-hmm. But I knew I could. And I really believe we all have this knowingness in us. The key is to nurture it. And you know, and it, I get it. If you don't know that you have it in you, well, set up a dialogue within yourself that you want to, that you're, okay, so if you don't know it, remember what David Hawking said. All everything energetically is life-affirming after courage. So
yes.
You have the courage to say to yourself, well, if I have this, because now I also want to share with you that self-esteem has also made me choose things. Like I have had to leave relationships. Like remember when I told you that I've done a lot of what I call a, who's the stand-up comic? He used to be on Thursday nights, had his own show. He had the Jewish guy from Long Island. He had a number one show.
Jerry Seinfeld?
Jerry Seinfeld, thank you. Remember when I told you I have Jerry Seinfeld life? Which
yes.
is, I just so the audience knows, because I haven't talked about this in a while. When I'm referencing a Jerry Seinfeld left his show. He canceled his show when they were still in the number one rating. They were still going strong. He easily could have gotten another 5 to 10 years out of it, easily. But he chose to leave when he was on top. I have also done that. I have chosen certain things in my life, when, including drug dealing. I left as a successful drug dealer. But I have also left in relationships that were not necessarily intimate relationships, but business relate, just certain things in my life where I have gotten the hit, the intuition, the message, it's time to leave. And I'm like, okay, you know. And so it's an interesting thing, because if you want the self-esteem and you want the intuition, you got to have the courage to trust that it's taking you where you want to be. Because I can tell you that those choices, I left when I was on top, but funny enough, like 4 months later, all the other people, you know, in that, surrounding that project, all collapsed. Mm. And I didn't have, my hands were clean, because I had left when it was all still going well.
Right.
And I get it, you know, I can hear people saying, yeah, well, maybe it collapsed because you left. Well, to be honest, if it's my creation, I can come and go as I please, and if other people are trying to live off of it and it collapses because I'm not a part of it, well, then perhaps they should live off of their own creations and not mine.
Right.
But you know, that was not actually the situation. The two that I have in mind, you know, it was just it's just a knowingness that the whole eternal aspect of that which is good, that which is not good, all of it will pass. The intuition really helps us surf the journey that's meant for our soul. And it's not about using our intuition so nothing painful happens. That is not even close to what the true purpose of intuition is. The true purpose of intuition is to garnish experience, to gain experience and wisdom from that experience. And from the soul's point of view, not from the personality's point of view. The soul. You know, because the soul is more than happy to literally have you, go into a burning building to save somebody, even though you could come out, severely third-degree burned. I mean, it's because it really just understands the whole essence of the eternalness of us. You know, the personality thinks one lifetime, not quite sure if there's more after this, and the soul is going, of course there's more after this. We know this. So go ahead. Go jump in the burning building. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I had an experience just recently where there was this person who is starting to deal with life, not using substances for a while,
yes,
you probably...
The sober life.
Yeah, for a while you probably feel like, oh, this is great. And then you hit these places where...
very challenging. Definitely.
Right, challenging, looking at things that maybe, repressed or, involuntarily or voluntarily not looked at or not handled. And yet I really do believe in the intelligence of, ourselves, because this person said, was in what some might call a bad way. And this person was going, well, I just feel like I'm going to die. And immediately, I didn't have to think about it, and out comes my mouth. You don't know how intelligent you just were. Yes, there is an old self, the old paradigm, the old belief systems, the you that was, the juvenile, is ready to die, and you're ready to integrate and become this more mature new person. And so, in some respects, her deep intuition knew, go for it, die, and not
right.
physically, but let the
old... Well, but a part of the physical, it'll show up physically.
Let the old self go, and it literally is like a death. And, and because I have said to you how many times I've died many times in the last, 15 years or whatever, and literally, so I was so impressed at the intelligence of what this person was saying intuitively, and yet she wasn't connecting with how true it was and how okay it was, and how
right.
With the right support system, someone saying yes, that's exactly it. With a blink of an eye, you can go from the deep fear of a part of me is dying, although it feels so real that you think you're dying, that you're all of a sudden realizing, wow, this is amazing, and you drop into a whole other place. And so to me, that's almost what you follow, being afraid of what the intuition is saying, and yet the intuition is literally saying it, and she's not interpreting it as exactly, and I picked it up like, yes. And these are instances when it's really helpful for that person, because I've had those feelings and no one has been on the other side to go, yeah, that's good.
Me too.
So you're going to your own funeral, so to speak,
Yeah, nobody's celebrating.
And nobody's going, good for you, you're dead.
That's very true. No, why I was laughing when you said, with a good support system, I'm going, well, not always, but it's awesome
sometimes,
when you have it.
Right, it's awesome when, someone's standing there going, yeah, this is a good thing, and
exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then I should duck.
Because that's exactly right. That's just good instincts there, Janine. Good instincts.
I do have good reflexes. So it was astonishing that was just this past week, and I thought, man, isn't it, you know, it's amazing. I mean, what people say.
It is amazing. Yeah.
It is. And then what I caught in it, you know, I caught it. It was like, exactly. You know? And
Well, it's so funny how, because, you know, this is what self-esteem is showing me. And it's exactly what you just said again. Great segue. Self-esteem will show you that you've done everything exactly right in your life. Like, there's nothing, forget regret. Self-esteem literally goes, and with clarity as an experience, self-esteem will let you know every choice you made in your life was correct for you. It is such an astounding, it's the validation we seek outside of us that never can come whole and complete. Because what we're really seeking is the self-esteem. Just it doesn't just bring the confidence; it brings the wisdom to, so we know why we did what we did. Because from the soul's perspective, there is no wrong path. We can't make a mistake. I mean, I sit here in all my glory and tell you, I'm an ex-drug dealer. You know, I'm an ex-sex fiend. I'm an ex, you know, food junkie, you know, what? In other words, so, okay, what are you going to get me on? What are you going to get me on? You know, everything that I'm supposed to cower, you know, self-esteem is going, see how strong you are? See how amazing your life has turned out because you authentically lived it? And I'm like, holy shit, I see it. It's an amazing transformation. Because it gives you the confidence to know, I can traverse many things. Like, I mean, remember when Morpheus did his finger thing to Neo when they were fighting? You know, the middle finger. Come on.
Oh, right.
That's what it's like. Bring it. I've got a light body building inside of me. Woo! Let's go to 0 point.
Right. What really made an impression on me in that moment was the intelligence that was being spoken by this person, and they were completely missing it because that's what we've learned to do.
Yeah.
And it was truly spot on. It was so intelligent, you know, and all I would imagine that all their life they misunderstood just how right on they've been all the time. And
yes.
It's really everybody's story, you know, with few exceptions. You know,
right on.
You know, and it's I guess for myself, I mean, we're talking about this and, you know, we both have shared things that have happened literally in like the past 3 days, you know, and it's a lot. And
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
And yeah, it's not like, well, remember years ago. No, this is just like, remember 3 days ago.
Are you kidding me? Some of it happened this morning.
What?
Some of this I'm talking about happened this morning.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And I'm sure, you know, it's funny because I'm sitting here today and I'm going, this probably happened maybe several times today. And I'm not even, for myself even, and I'm going, you know, think back because I'm sure at least 5 or 6 times. You know, I sat here and went, wow, you know, there it is again.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So
yeah, but and the key is courage. Because does he have any kind of little blur? I'd say I should have had you prepared for, you know, want to read from.
Oh, yeah. No, well, you know, it's funny because I did underline something here.
Okay, because I don't know why I knew that, and it's like, okay, because this is David Hawkins, and what's the title of the book?
Oh, it's called Healing and Recovery.
Yeah, and I'll just give them a prep of it. So David Hawkins, he wrote several books. He's brilliant. He muscle tested emotions.
Yeah.
And so his philosophy is basically based on that anything that muscle tested weak was not life affirming, And anything that muscle tested strong was life affirming. And where the chart begins in life affirming is courage.
Yeah.
Everything above, you got to start. Courage is the bottom line. When you muscle test, what do they call it? Dowsing. When you douse to see, you know, what's truth, courage is truth. And so
what I love about, you know, and this was recommended to me by someone who knows me pretty well, and they thought that I would really enjoy this. And what surprised me was that there's the level of consciousness is begins to be life affirming and truly, you know, exponentially affecting you and all those around you when you move from a place of the false self system into when you cross over to a place of truth telling and courage. And right at that moment is when, you know, you kick in and you literally have it almost if your consciousness or with the wind in your back, you have it. You know, at that before that, you feel kind of like a trudging along, and
right. So good metaphor. Yeah,
and I felt that made so much sense to me because even in my storytelling, you know, it's the turning point for any character when they cross over into the place of courage. I mean, I have that whole bluebird story of seeing the bluebird, but then finding the quote by Anais Nin that said, life shrinks or expands in proportion to one's courage. This book is really helpful that way to see, you know, if you're in life-affirming energy as opposed to really causing your own personal drag on yourself, which you don't, you know... All it takes is some awareness and the light, and it's the whole different. It's a game changer.
It's a game changer. Right on.
Yeah. This is just interesting about self-reflection when he says, and this is about a state of health and well-being, you know, on all levels. But
how perfect.
Yeah. I definitely just underlined this about an hour before the show or even less. But it
I
says,
love it. I love it.
It says, introspection and spiritual movement are necessary to achieve a state of well-being, a feeling that one's life is significant and that we make a difference in the world. To us, because our sense of importance comes through the realization of the greatness of our real self. I think that's, you know, I mean, I just underline
beautiful.
That. Yeah, isn't that
beautiful? It's beautiful.
Yeah. And this is kind of cool.
Self-esteem.
Because,
Self-esteem. Yeah.
The totality of one's inheritance by virtue of human existence itself is represented by your own personal evolution. But I think that why I love that so much is because Goldie and I were talking about spiritual inheritance, and rather than when you know you are out there in the world or you're doing your thing, and rather than getting you know looking for, and this goes with the invisibility thing, rather
yep.
than looking for accolades and you know some kind of external validation, you know this there's a spiritual inheritance that shows up, and I almost think that the person who took the trophy out of her closet, there was a spiritual inheritance there that built up enough where when she it just whooshed in, it was like right there. And I think that the building of these kinds of, you know, spiritual inheritance for us comes in, and that's when you notice this kind of abundance in life, but in ways like whether it's just a feeling, you know, that has nothing to do with the external, but all to do with the internal and
exactly
a buildup. You know, this buildup that you and I were talking about the other day, which was fun. Do you remember that?
Inheritance.
Yeah. Yeah, spiritual inheritance.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Right. So he's amazing in that he can he can kind of help calibrate the level of consciousness. And I love that he says that we are born literally with a level of consciousness at birth, and and we're, you know, it's kind of like, and then we take it from there, and there we are, and we live our lives out, and we, you know, we just, I think, introspection, spiritual movement is what it's all about. It's all about internal as opposed to external, which is the opposite of the conditioning. And so, you know, that's what he's writing about. That's amazing. And the guy lives, he walks his talk, so to speak.
Oh yeah.
So,
oh yeah.
Yeah.
He's got several books. If you Google
wait, how about this one? I just looked at the top of this paragraph.
Go ahead.
Like the sun, the inner self is always shining.
Right. Oh.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, that's totally, well, you know, because, you know, and we're coming to a close, but I got to share this, you know. Well, yeah, we got like 3 minutes left.
Okay.
You know, the internal journey, if indeed, you know, you're on the organic pathway, which my guess is most people following the show, you know, you're on the organic pathway. There's a resonance going on between us and the audience. So the internal journey is what's important, because when we flip inside out after the zero point, and, you know, I get it, the external journey, you know, mass media, mass consciousness, everybody's going, something like that couldn't happen. You know, like, what are you thinking about? You know, stay focused. What's your mortgage payments? What's going on with your job? You know, what kind of clothes and shoes do you have in your closets? This is what's important. But I'll tell you, when you get the bug, so to speak, the self-esteem bug, it really does start, just like in The Matrix, and George actually mentioned The Matrix in his talk. I was cracking up going, wow, I'm definitely connected. Mm. There's a point in The Matrix when Neo gets unplugged, and all the machine comes and is popping all the things off his back, all the plug-ins, and he drains himself down the drain, and he's left go for waste. You know, you're essentially to the machine. You've died. Well, that's what, you know, there's a metaphor there. We do die to the outside world, but I'll tell you, the experience of the organic timeline of Mother Nature, of literally, I mean, I'm finding hands down self-esteem, intuition, and the genuine light that lives within me. Not the love and light crap of somebody else coming to me, like Saint Germain or Kuan Yin or my light, me as a being of light, my authentic light. Oh my God, this is, I'm telling you, it's a bug, because you'll be hooked. You'll be hooked on your own self-esteem, your own intuition, your own journey. Inside there, I have I'm going to take a picture. It's at my house. I have a fortune cookie that says, adventure only happens from within.
And it is a force, and it does have momentum. And then
Definitely.
Yeah. That's great.
Okay, so we're almost at the top of the hour. No, go ahead. But please,
the trophy. The trophy story coming out of the closet really affects, you know, I really feel that moment of
whoosh.
Yeah, I really do.
Yeah, me too.
Me too.
I was very stoked when I read the story. I was just like, it's so symbolic of what's available to us. You know, let's bring our self-esteem out of the closet. That goes for homosexuals. That goes for drug addicts. That goes for everybody that has ever felt ashamed, you know, because somebody in society said we weren't worthy, or religion said we weren't worthy. You know, let's come out of the closet, and you don't have to come out of the closet kicking and screaming. Just come out of the closet owning your own presence, because you're untouchable when you own your own presence. You're just untouchable.
Yeah, and misinformed and misinterpreted about, you know, your whole life being perfectly setting you up for this moment when you realize, oh, that was actually really good, you know, and
and
I'm seeing that a lot. I'm seeing that a lot.
Everywhere.
Even in myself.
Yeah, right on, Jaybird. You're so beautiful. Where can people find you so that they can? Listen, I'm telling you, Janine's available. You call her. Call her. She's amazing. Go ahead.
Thank you, Goldie.
You're welcome.
I have a website. It's jlkimmel.com, and that's KIMMEL.com. And I'm on Facebook, Janine L. Kimmel, and you can find me on Goldie's friends list, too.
Right on. Oh, thank you. And anotherrealityshow.com or the archives for the show are all available. And should I play a song? I don't know if it'll last, but should I play a second song?
Sure.
Okay. So this is
bye everybody.
This is also from Kansas. It's a song called Miracles Out of Nowhere. And
nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. I love you all. We'll talk to you all guys next week or sooner if we feel a spontaneous show.
Oh, and expect miracles out of nowhere.
Expect miracles out of nowhere because they happen every single moment. I love you, Janine. I love you, audience.
Bye.